This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the studio Jonathan Rentels with Creative Voices in Media online at creativevoices.us, not .com. You probably get that question a lot.
Or not .org.
Not .org, not .net. Remind us, Creative Voices in Media, what it is and what y'all do.
We do policy work and advocacy on behalf of people who make and work in media and also on behalf of the public interest.
And lots of news recently regarding the Court of Appeals decision.
Correct.
Fill us in on what happened, because this is pretty major.
Well, Coy, you may recall the last time I was in, we had argued a case along with the networks against the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, to the Court of Appeals in New York. We were challenging their finding that certain television shows had been indecent, that there were fleeting references or fleeting uses on these award shows of the S word and the F word. And the FCC had fined that network, fined the owners of the stations that had aired that show, and said that henceforth, whenever those words were used, whether it was fleeting, whether it was inadvertent, whether it was, you know, potentially, you know, back in the basketball stands arguing with a referee's call and you could hear it over the air, that would be indecent and stations and networks would be fined. That flew in the face of 30 years of FCC precedent. We challenged it in the Court of Appeals and we won. So the Court of Appeals said, and they were very careful not to say, you know, those words are okay to use. That's not what they said. They didn't say those words, you know, don't offend people. They do offend people, and we agree with that. But what they said was the federal government cannot censor arbitrarily and capriciously and abuse its discretion and overturn 30 years of precedent, which they had done. And FCC, you acted unlawfully because you did act arbitrarily. Go back and try again.
Is the government going to appeal?
That's unclear. The ball is in the government's court. They have the option of going to the Supreme Court on an appeal or trying to get the rules right and actually either go back to the old rules, which is what we advocate, or better justify their new rules. And that's up to them, and they haven't announced their decision.
So this is the way that the FCC has been operating under the Bush administration, I guess, is they've sort of taken a more aggressive approach about what we see and hear on the airwaves. And organizations like yours say this is a free society. And, you know.
Correct. Correct. What really happened was two things in the last year. Since the Bush administration came to power, and even before that, really, dating back 1996, the Telecommunications Act, there was a massive consolidation of ownership in the radio industry. And as a result, there were far fewer voices that owned local radio stations, local television stations, and so on. And a lot of the content that got put on by the big media companies was much coarser, unfortunately, because it sells. And a lot of people, parents and people are no longer parents or have not been parents but just ordinary citizens, objected to the coarseness of that content. The reaction to that increasing coarseness was that the Federal Communications Commission, which had traditionally taken a very restrained view towards controlling content of television and radio because there are huge First Amendment questions associated with that, got much more involved in trying to control the content of television and radio and trying to and make it, according to them, less coarse. And they really got into kind of a censorship mindset and injected themselves into the politics, really, of the culture war. That's what happened. And that was first under FCC Chairman Michael Powell and has continued under Chairman Kevin Martin. And it's really a shame because the losers in this are the American public. Creative artists who, you know, we advocate for have difficulty getting the shows they want on the air. But the real losers are the American public, because the problem with censorship on television and radio is it doesn't get the objectionable programming off the air. And in so many cases, it takes the very programming that parents want their children to see off the air. So it's far too blunt an instrument. Let me tell you some of the programming that does get taken off the air. Saving Private Ryan is one of the examples that many people know about. One-third of the ABC television affiliates refused to air Saving Private Ryan, one of the greatest films ever made, because it had the F and the S word in it, and the stations thought that they would be fined by the FCC because the FCC had said those words in any context.
So they had been cowed by the government.
They had absolutely self-censored, been cowed by the government. That's exactly right. And so then the FCC came back and said, well, no, we didn't mean Saving Private Ryan. And so, you know,
we meant Opie and Anthony.
Yeah. And so it became a completely arbitrary, really sort of set of rules. And in fact, we're not the only Charlottesville organization that's involved in this. The Thomas Jefferson Center for Free Expression,
of course, yeah,
has done terrific work on this. And they this year gave the FCC a muzzle award, one of their uncoveted muzzle awards. Yeah. And what they said was, we're giving this to the FCC because their rationales for censoring really amount to little more than, quote, because we said so. And that's not, cannot be the basis for regulating, you know, yeah, speech in America.
Well, that's the very government that we overthrew in the 1770s. The exact problem, yeah, one of the many exact problems that we had with governments for hundreds of years had been, you know, populated by people said, well, because I said so. So yeah, do it.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And, you know, what is so interesting is, let's compare what's just happened with the courts, where, you know, we went through this whole rigmarole over the F word and the S word and how censorship has taken so much of the terrific content off of television. And I don't just mean Saving Private Ryan, but there have been PBS documentaries that have been edited or dropped. A great documentary like Eyes on the Prize. I mean, that's a...
what's wrong with that?
It's got bad language in it. After the bad language is heard, the speaker says, excuse me. You know, I mean, it's a documentary, but there were stations that had to take that off the air. They were told by their lawyers, take that off the air or bleep it or delay it. So all we're saying is, let's give parents the choice as to whether to have their kids look at this programming. Let's not leave that choice to Big Brother. Let's leave it to Big Mommy and Big Daddy. And, you know, what's so interesting is we've seen a very clear demonstration of the way the system ought to work. And that was the Don Imus incident, where he, you know, disparaged the Rutgers women's basketball team. And, you know, interestingly, that was perfectly fine. It was not a violation of the FCC's rules, what he said. But it was hugely objectionable.
And it certainly wasn't the worst thing he had said in his career.
Not at all.
Far from it.
Not at all. But there was a private reaction to that. Not the government getting involved, but the audience getting involved. His audience stood up and say, no, that's not acceptable. And they went to the broadcaster. And they went to the advertisers. And there was a backlash against that said, wait a minute, we object to that programming. Now,
you mean the market actually worked? How about that?
How
and
about
government
that?
Didn't have to
a
do a
free
thing.
Free market solution.
How about that? And so he's out of a job for the interim. He'll be back, of course, at some point. He's just too good at what he does. And I am one of those folks who really enjoyed his interviews with journalists and politicians. I thought they were some of the best and incredibly unique interviews that were done with these people.
I did too. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about his being fired. I mean, that, but, you know, ultimately, it should be for the community, for citizens to decide, you know, what is acceptable in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And if that's not acceptable in the marketplace of broadcast radio, then maybe there's a place for him on satellite radio,
right,
as there has been for Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony. But, you know, the FCC has gotten so, I said they were kind of in a censoring mindset, that even the owners of satellite radio are starting to censor some of their people on their air, and they're not subject to FCC rules about content. But, you know, the XM radio ownership slapped down Opie and Anthony for a month, not for language, but for a bit that they did about Condoleezza Rice, which was, you know, objectionable to me.
But they don't give the audience an opportunity to say, hey, don't we want that? Because the Opie and Anthony audience may want that.
Well, that is, you know, the...
And they pay for it. That's a private business, you know? I got an XM thing in my car. I paid for the subscription. I paid for somebody to put it in there.
That's right.
And, you know, I pay for those things to come to that machine and into my speakers.
That's right. And if I pay for HBO, I want to hear The Sopranos and, you know, their full-throated language, you know? But, you know, interesting, there was a backlash from the XM Opie and Anthony audience that was very upset. They said, we're subscribing to XM radio because we don't want the FCC determining what content we hear on our radio. So we're coming over to satellite radio. And here's XM censoring because they have something that they want FCC approval on, their merger with Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
And so
they wanted the government to really like them.
The long arm and the heavy hand of the government reared its ugly head even in satellite radio.
We're talking with Jonathan Rentels, of the executive director of Creative Voices and Media, online at creativevoices.us. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. John, there was the study done recently that talk radio is enormously conservative. What, 90, 91, 92% of talk radio time is conservative voices, and some concern that there's not enough local control because of the media ownership, the corporate conglomeration, the tentacles of those few octopus that own it all. There's not enough local control, and I'd like to believe there's not enough shows out in America like this program, where you have local folks talking about local issues, and it doesn't aggressively slant left or right, that it's just everybody can come to the table and nobody yells at each other, hopefully, and it's, you know, aimed to be very balanced. And what was your take on that recent study?
Yeah, there are two different issues involved in that. And this goes back to what I was talking about in terms of the consolidation and concentration of the radio and television industry since the 1996 so-called deregulation of ownership. After that, conglomerates like Clear Channel and Infinity, which became Viacom, CBS, et cetera, bought up hundreds. In fact, Clear Channel went up to over 1,200 radio stations, including a number in Charlottesville. And what those companies have done in order to justify their purchase of these radio stations is fire the local talent, fire the Coy Barefoots and the local DJs and so on, and put on syndicated programming that originates at one station and that they can then put out over hundreds of stations. And they really don't take too much of the local taste or local sensibilities into account on that because it's such a compelling money-making thing for them, you know, instead of just putting a conservative talk radio host on in 10 markets, we'll put them on in 200 markets, and it won't cost us much more.
And we can cut our costs and make a whole lot more money, and somebody might say, hey, if the business has found a better way to make money, and then that must be good.
Well, that is what's happened, unfortunately, and you know, what we really need to do, there's nothing wrong with, we believe in free speech. We believe conservatives have a right to free speech. We believe liberals have a right to free speech.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so on. What we would really like to see is a return to local ownership and local involvement in what is broadcast in local communities. And then let's let the chips fall where they may. If they want to hear conservative radio 24/7, we're okay with that. There are a lot of people who are not, that want the fairness doctrine brought back. You know, if you have a conservative viewpoint,
the government forces some kind of balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We think that's a bad idea. You know, let's keep the government out of this. Let's leave it to the local citizens to decide.
Right, right.
You know, the interesting counterpoint to this is there are now conservatives who are concerned about too much conservative talk radio. Senator Trent Lott said, talk radio is ruining America. And they don't come much more conservative than Trent Lott.
He's messing with his business.
Yeah, well, he wanted an immigration bill passed, apparently, and the talk radio hosts...
they whipped the base up into a flurry, and they killed it.
Absolutely. That's what happened. So, you know, Trent Lott, be careful what you wished for, because you got it.
John Rentels, he's executive director of Creative Voices in Media. You can read more online at creativevoices.us. What are you working on right now, real quick?
We are talking more about government involvement in controlling the content of television and radio. The FCC has asked Congress to give it the power to now regulate so-called violent or graphic content. They haven't defined how that would be, in addition to regulating the indecent content. And for all the reasons we think that their regulation of indecency is bad, it's too vague, it's overbroad, it's censoring terrific content. Those reasons are even more compelling in the so-called violence context, because that goes straight to talking about controlling the content of news.
It's a slippery slope that a free society shouldn't even be on. We shouldn't even be on that slope, for heaven's sakes.
You know, one person's unconscionably violent television is another person's 6 o'clock news. You know, and that's and are we gonna, you know, not show hockey games anymore because the guys break out into fights? You know, or what about the NBA players going into the stands and punching a fan?
John Rentels of Creative Voices in Media, online at creativevoices.us. John, thank you so much.
Coy, it's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.